Welcome to the Diane McClay Show, empowering life through choice. Get ready to discover new perspectives, motivation, and balance through Diane's compassionate storytelling and insightful discussions. Whether you're feeling stuck and discouraged, or curious and looking for more possibilities, Diane has your back, and she's ready to take you on a journey of self-discovery and expansion. Choice is powerful, and so are you. The Diane McClay Show starts now.
Welcome in, my friends. Happy Friday, and holy cow, happy 2023. We made it. 2020 is in the past. 2021 is in the past. 2022 was a pretty good year for most of us. And here we are looking at how to set our mindset and choose the life we want in 2023. Thanks for joining us. My guest today is Keila Parkinson. She's the owner of Kiki Productions. Hi, Keila. And Hi. She's a communication coach with over 20 years of experience in her industry. She has taken her background in journalism and her prior work as a creative producer, speechwriter, and speech coach for various Fortune 500 corporations and transformed it into really practical knowledge for you and I to help us speak our truth with confidence. So she's a contributing author to a book, to a collaboration book called The Successful Body, Using Fitness, Nutrition, and Mindset to Live Better. And have you ever met somebody, like you've never met them, but when you meet them, you feel like you've known them a lifetime? I'm happy to say that I feel like I have a new friend and a new mentor in my circle, and also a co-collaborator to a book we've been working on called Healthy Thinking, Happy Life, Master Your Mindset, and Get Shit Done, right? Let's just be real. We're going to get shit done today. So I welcome in. Thank you for being here. Thank you for saying yes. I'm so excited to see where this conversation goes because we haven't planned anything out, have we?
We haven't. And I love to do this. This is fun, especially with you, Diane, because I know we can fill an hour or more.
Right. Well, in random passing, we realized that our worlds got significantly smaller. When we first met, we realized that my niece lives in a town that's 20 minutes away from you. And you just shared with me that your best friend from high school lives in the town that I'm moving to. So,
yeah, so cool.
Right. So let's just tee that up. Right. To me, that's a concept of mindset. Right. Yeah. That we've opened our minds to be expansive. And now the universe, God, whoever you believe in, is showing us that when we open our minds and we change our perspective, then we actually get more interconnected. Would you agree? And let's kind of start it out there.
Oh, man. Not only do I agree, but it gives me cold chills just to say like the reality of that, right? And that to me, that's like my God moment. My, again, whatever you call it, higher power, whatever, universe. I love all those phrases because to me, they're interchangeable. When I get those goosebumps, it's like, ooh, you're really on to something. It's like, you know, all the things are tingling.
Right. So tell us a little bit, like just help our listeners set the stage for like how you got here. I mean, you and I bumped into each other through our mutual friend and mentor and coach, Denise Stegall, who runs Living Healthy List, which is a magazine and a community dedicated to helping the average individual, especially women, make choices and find ways to think happier, live healthier, and make it attainable, right? So that's how we met. But how did you get here? Give me a brief overview of your journey and maybe a lesson that you learned along the way that you start sharing with your clients.
Yeah, for me, trying to be brief about my journey, like that's the biggest challenge, right? So because how far back do we go? We talk about where does the journey begin? You know, I could go back generations, but I'm not going to do that to you or the listeners. But
well, we only have an hour.
I know, right?
And we got other juicy stuff to get to. So bullet train me through. How did you get to be a communication coach? I know you've got some journalism background, writing, authorship, but tell us the juicy stuff that's not in the bio.
Yeah. So the real juicy stuff is that I struggled with processing emotions. I mean, who hasn't, right? But especially in the US, who hasn't? And especially from a certain era of life, because now some kids kind of get the leg up on that, right? But definitely not when I was growing up. And so just that challenge over and over and over in my life and thinking that my emotions were a liability instead of that my emotions are information that I really need in any situation, that goof, that error thinking, right? That got me got me into a lot of struggle in life. And so I was always working to communicate. I have a pretty good ability to synthesize big ideas into words that all kinds of people can understand. I think because I really think about vision and other people's mindset and I have like empathy for that. So all great in the coaching field. We already gave like the career bio, right? And so all that stuff I was doing and fumbling along the way and making these mistakes. And all of a sudden when 2008, the bottom dropped out of the world economy and especially in the US, I was like, what can I do? that isn't me on the treadmill. I mean, if I'm going to try something that's just my heart and soul, this is a great time to try and fail because I can just blame the economy. So I was like, I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to do what I would love to do, right? And it was so much fun. And my goal was always to work with families because my heart is really there. And I wasn't a mom at the time. I just was like, I know this is a generational concept. But in my area, a lot of people were moving into sales. They were moving into it because of the crisis, you know, and they were doing it with no backup, no safety net. It was just like, you're on commission, go. And they were like, I haven't done this either in ages or ever or not in this industry, right? And so my message was really hitting home with sales professionals. So I really started coaching sales professionals. And then we'd work together and they would say, can you coach my spouse? Can you coach my partner? Can you coach my kid? And I was like, yes. So that's how it's blossomed.
Yeah. So I'm lit up and my brain is like, it's like you just shot it full of caffeine. It's going,
ding, 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 ding,
right. I want to quote you because you just said something really, really brilliant. And if you didn't catch yourself, I want to put this in your repertoire.
Cool.
So you just said it's a great time to try and fail.
Amen. Right.
I just want to let that sink in for a minute for our listeners. And Jacob, I'm going to call you out here real quick. You know, Jacob's got some changes coming into his life. You're not going to get it right the first time. You're not going to be perfect at it, whatever it is in your life. And to our listeners, what if, and I'm wearing my favorite t-shirt today. My favorite question is, what if we just changed our mindset? Then instead of saying, oh my gosh, I can't fail, I hope I don't fail. What if I do fail, right? Because the brain's really good at filling in that answer. If we ask the wrong what if question, we are going down a rabbit hole that we are never going to get out of, and it's going to stick with us like gum on your shoe, right? But what if we said, it's a great time to try and fail? Now, I don't mean like purposely screwing your kid up or, you know, purposely failing a test. I don't mean like blatantly fail in the traditional sense. But what if we just changed our mindset that if I try to fail and I succeed at it, pretty sure I'm going to learn something.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to be more knowledgeable after I fail.
Mm-hmm.
What would the world look like if we did that?
Right. You just described growth mindset, right? Like try, fail, learn, try again. That's really the continuum of learning, you know, and that's what growth mindset is versus fixed mindset. And I say it that way, I'm starting to replace fixed mindset with stuck mindset for kiddos, because my 9-year-old is always like, I think fixed means it's working well. This is confusing to me, right? So we say now growth mindset versus stuck mindset, right? And we can get into that where like, what if I fail? And then whoop, brain freeze, you know? And so I love what you're saying, Diane. And I love how you also have a follow-up question. So what if as your other favorite question?
Yeah, so I'm going to just stand up for our listeners who can't see me. I'm going to just stand up and turn around. The back of my shirt actually says, why not? So the front of the shirt says, what if? And I hope when I'm walking down the middle of the street, if someone says, what if? And people are like, what if? I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
But then when I walk away from them and they turn around and they're thinking about the what if question, the next thing they see is, why not? What I like to believe that I'm doing in that moment is I'm giving somebody the sense of courage to just do, right? The stuck mindset happens when we don't take action. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite quotes is, I think Henry Ford and Thomas Edison are both quoted in terms of failure.
Mm-hmm.
Edison was accused of failing 99 times for not finding the right filament. And what his response was, I didn't fail 99 times. I found 99 different ways to not make a light bulb.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and Ford basically says failure is the opportunity to start again more intelligently.
Mm-hmm.
So what if failure and our mindset around failure and carrying that into 2023, oh, I don't want to repeat the same mistakes I made last year. I don't want to do the same stuff my family member did or my boss did, or right? What if we just said it's an opportunity to start again more intelligently? And what better time of the year to do it than right after everybody promises themselves New Year's resolutions that are almost always a little bit out of reach by March 27th?
Right. Yes. I think there is like, I think actually that date, that magical date when everyone starts to feel is a little earlier. I think it's like the third week of February. I think there's actually like statistics on that. Right. But you made me think of two things, Diane. The first is that the way that we got a lot of the data about how to have a growth mindset that now we teach the masses, right, is from studying these great entrepreneurs who were so successful, right? People were like, what are they doing that's different? How are they getting out there? How are they really doing these amazing things? And one of the major things they all had in common, no matter what their backgrounds, educations, or the outcomes, or the products, or the services, or whatever, however they changed the world, was that they didn't see failures as a stopping point. They saw that as a motivator to do more, right? And so that's how we got this to begin with. The other thing, the whole thing there just made me think of is that when, you know, how many times have we, so many of us, been like talking to the universe and we're like, I just need a billboard, right? Like, you're that walking billboard for a lot of people with that t-shirt on. That's really cool.
It's my goal that I hope that when people see me and when they hear me say, what if and why not, I hope they don't get it, right? But what I mean by that is I hope they get curious enough to dig a little bit deeper and go, well, what does that mean to me? I've never heard that before. No one's ever challenged me to ask the question, right? So that's another thing. Ask the question.
Yeah.
Right? Ask the question. Get the information. Because my personal belief is that you cannot change anything until you have awareness. Once you create awareness for yourself, your power already automatically goes up. And what I coach on is once you have awareness, that gives you the opportunity to create options. I think as soon as you have an option, you're in power. And think about it. When you tell a child, you can either do this or you can do that. As a parent, aren't you going to win either way if they pick it? Because theoretically, you've picked good options for them to choose from.
Yes.
Right? If they choose the not so good option, that gives you as the parent information about what how they function, how they listen, how they communicate, what their needs are. Like in a split second, by them making a choice and you've given a child a chance to make a choice, you as a parent are now more informed, right? Now, let's be clear. It's always better to provide as many good options as you can. I used to be a park ranger. When I walk into a campsite, 11 o'clock at night, music blaring, and I'd say, turn your music down. What do you think people are going to do, right? The only option I have given them is to be aggressive back towards me.
Yeah.
Right. But when I go in at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and I say, hey, folks, my name is Diane. I'm the ranger on duty today. I want you to have a good time while you're here. I want you to go ahead right now at 5 p.m. and turn your music all the way up, like to the point where the radio doesn't go anymore. And then I'm going to step away from your campsite and I'm going to ask you to dial it down. And when I can't hear it outside of your campsite, that's the space I want you to have your music at 10 o'clock tonight. Can I get you to do that? Right.
Nice.
It's a completely different setup. If I get to a point where I have to write a citation, then I'm going to give people options. Look, I can get you to comply or I can write a citation.
Right.
Right. I can kick you out of the park or you can comply. I don't care which one you pick because either way, my problem is going to go away. But I'm going to give you the choice to pick and I'm going to give you good options to pick from so that we both come out ahead. Right.
Yeah.
So good options. But then once you pick from options, as soon as you make a choice from an option you created, from an awareness you generated yourself, I believe that your tagline, find your voice, make your peace, and leave your dream, starts to happen immediately.
Oh my gosh, yeah. You know, and I love that you took every career that's out there, every job position, everything, we can take that empathy, that connection with people, that desire to solve the problems collaboratively, and we can use it and grow on it. And so that's really the tagline, speaks to all of that for everybody.
Right? Solve the problem collaboratively, whether it's a child, a coworker, a spouse, a friend, you know, your career, a business person. So let's jump a little bit. Let's talk about the book because I'm super stoked about it. I know you are. You want to tell people about what we're doing here?
Yeah, this is so exciting. I was so excited that Denise gave us all like this option and we kind of, you know, we bandied around like, are we going to do it? Who's going to be in the group? And there were several of us who had this option. And then all of a sudden the stars aligned. It was like, go, let's do it. And I think that week, that month, I was on another writing deadline and I was like, oh my gosh, they're happening at the same time. And then I just like powered through and I thought it was so cool. I loved what I was able to create kind of under that like friction that was just the right amount of friction to kind of, you know, which is really cool. So I kind of got into a flow with it, which is really exciting.
Right. So what we're talking about is right now our editors are pulling the formatting together for Healthy Thinking, Happy Life, Master Your Mindset, How to Get Shit Done. right? And I think you can say on TTR, they're pretty open-minded. If they're not, they'll bleep me out. But it's not that you're not getting stuff done in your life right now, but are you getting the stuff done that you want? Are you getting the stuff that Jacob said, all good. Thank you, buddy. Are you getting the stuff done with purpose, with intention? Are you as efficient as you want to be? Is there something in your way? Which is why you and I are both coaches, because we have the ability to see things that other people can't see and make suggestions on how they can shift their perspective and shift their mindset to get where they want to be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what I love, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, what I love about this too is this collaboration is like, it's a lot of different voices kind of coming out, like how to tackle this problem of like getting out of your own way, using the motivation to do the things you really want to do to get shit done, right? And so it's really fun because you're able to then, you know, pick up this book and be like, okay, today I really want to think about this subject. And there's so many different subjects and so many different approaches, even to, you know, dovetailed subjects. You can really get something that you need in that moment when you're having that whole, again, conversation with the universe, just like, help me, give me some direction, right? I like that.
You know, and I like to think of myself as a reader. The reality is I have more books in my bookshelf than I have given myself time to read. And, I have this vision of my house. I'm going to have this reading room in my new house in Colorado because the sun is coming in. I'm going to get a comfy chair and hopefully not take a nap. But what I love about collaborations and is that you can just randomly pick a book up, pick a chapter, start to read it. You're going to know immediately if it resonates with you or if you're drawn into the author's story or if you can see yourself in the situation that the author has articulated for you. So you can read one chapter and set it down and you have gold sitting in your head and in your hand and in your heart immediately. It may be a read through and through from one page to the end for some people, but what's really great is you can throw it on your coffee table, read a chapter, ponder what the message is, and implement some of the strategies that all the authors, at the end, every author has questions, ahas, and strategies from their own personal story that they share with the audience members. But you can pick it up, digest a small piece of it, process it, set it back down, and then come back to it at another point in time. It's a great story you can read to somebody on a road trip.
Oh, absolutely. That's really fun to do, by the way. And also, you know, I have to say, because I do consider myself not just a reader, but like, I've been accused of like, I'd rather read than live. And I feel like I should get a bumper sticker that says I'd rather be reading, right? Like my hashtag is word nerd. Like I'm so into all the words in the books. And this is also something that's well written, right? So not only is the subject matter great, not only is it that gold that informs you, but when you are reading just a chapter or a page or a paragraph, like it's well written, it's succinct. And so if you are critical of that too, this is one of those collaborative books that also it's really fun to read.
Right, exactly. And so I want to sorry, word nerdy. I want to put a quick direction out to our audience. So we don't have it out on Amazon yet. We expect it within the next 7 to 10 days, fingers crossed, hoping everybody doesn't get sick at the printing press place. When it comes out, we want people to look for Healthy Thinking, Happy Life. Just Google that and then download the 99-cent Kindle version, read a chapter two, and our goal is to be like a bestseller in 2023, like right off the presses. We want to tell people that we've got the stuff everybody needs to make their life great. And what we'd love to have our readers do when it comes out, go to Amazon.com, Google Healthy Thinking, Happy Life, and then download the Kindle version, 99-cent version, and then read a chapter or two and then post a review for us. Yeah. If people could just do that, I would be appreciative, and so would every other author in the book. Our goal. Yeah, of course, we want to cover the cost of publication. All the proceeds are going to go back to the Living Healthy List community group because there's a magazine production that's going out. So that's feeding back into the cycle of creating new content for people. But really, we want to just put these powerful stories in the hands of our listeners and in the hands of our readership.
Mm-hmm. Ideas are so powerful, right? And like once people have those ideas, then what people can do with them are amazing. And that's one of the things that's also very cool about this collaboration.
Is this a good time to, I know you've got your story next to you and I actually have not read your chapter yet. Is there something calling you that you'd like to share with our listening audience?
You know what I would love to do, Diane, is I have a couple of paragraphs that aren't exactly next to each other, but I think they really speak well together. So I'm going to just read and jump around a bit, but I think it flows really well.
Perfect.
So
here it goes. Awesome. Go for it.
Okay. Agency. That sense of free will and personal control over our actions, our choices, and to some degree, our environment is one of the primary pillars of family power, the other being community. Specifically, when we have free will and personal choices within a community of support, we can explore options, schedules, and values that work for ourselves, our children, and our greater family, even if that family is simply one adult and one child. The rules and expectations of parenting have changed so much in the last 30 years that it's almost an apples to oranges scenario comparing the child-rearing habits and principles of 1992 with 2022. For grandparents who have been mainstays in handing down family values and community traditions to the younger generations through time immemorial, what worked for them in the 1990s, 80s, or even 70s are often archaic and outmoded now. Just grasp the changing rules of child passenger safety laws or car seats. One research article shares that on average, each state has changed its child passenger safety laws 6 times over a 30-year interval. According to the Governor's Highway Safety Association, state regulations vary in every state by age, weight, and type of restraint device that is required. And breach of these laws while visiting or passing through another state is technically a ticketable offense. Just one more item parents add to their vacation research in 2022. And that isn't even mentioning the COVID regulatory variables of the last 2 years or anything to do with the internet and social media that didn't exist before. No wonder then that mental health stats for teens and children and their parents are going up in all the wrong ways. But here's where the hero enters our scene. Social emotional lessons, SEL for short, are the fastest route to creating agency for yourself, teaching your children how to do the same, even when they are away from you, and then trusting your own ability to find or make a like-minded community where you can grow together. Structured, named, and disseminated into curriculum with outcome markers by a group of professional educators beginning in 1994, SEL is becoming common, sometimes even core curriculum in schools throughout the US, Europe, and elsewhere. And I've got a couple of examples of that I'm going to skip here.
Okay, let me jump in real quick.
Yeah.
So I want to call it out, SEL. I mean, it's what's really kind of, here's where my brain goes. It's 3/4 of the way to self, right? Myself, like himself, herself, S-E-L-F as in Frank.
Oh, well, yeah,
so
right.
Social emotional lessons, and then add my F for
myself.
Or social emotional lessons for family, which is what you're talking about right now. But the thing I heard is create opportunity, create options, trust, and communicate. Those are the 4 things that I heard in your paragraph. As you're speaking to new parents, older parents, about how to raise a healthy child with all of the demands that are on them that we don't even know about. Did I capture that right? Did I summarize it?
Just right. Yeah, just right. And so it's cool because sometimes teachers are applying this at school. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes parents are applying this at home. Sometimes they're not. So kids are getting this confusion. Is it okay to have emotions or isn't it? And if we, whenever we are talking about that, if we let them know, like, it's okay to have your emotions. It's okay to learn how to process them. It's okay if someone else is having their emotions. If it's not safe for you, here are the safe people to speak up to, right? That's so critical for that developing mind.
So yeah, I agree. And not just for children, but for adults, right? Because our Western society somehow teaches us that we have to temper our emotions, right? You can't just have an outrage at work, right? That's not appropriate, which, you know, in a social setting, I agree. But literally 20 minutes before I jumped on with you, I was dropping some tools off at my buddy's house, and I'll just call him out. You know, he's a honorably discharged staff sergeant, Simon Wilkerson. And unfortunately, he just had to put his dog down, right? 2 days ago. This is a man who served in the military, several campaigns in Afghanistan, Iraq. We know the military tends to break people down, form them in their own mold, and then expect them to just come back into our society and manage these feelings that they've been taught not to have. So I went over and I gave him a big hug, and he told me a story, which was beautiful, and I won't relay it now because I'll make everybody cry. But he shared the very last moment that he had as his dog was passing. And it was about promising his dog that his dog could have the ball to his last breath. And he just started crying. And I looked at him and I want to call this out because this is a way to shift our mindset. It's not about changing your mind and going 180 degrees.
Right.
But I said to him, man, first of all, thank you for sharing. That was beautiful. And I gave him just a big hug and I just held on until the crying stopped. And he's like, man, I told myself I wasn't going to cry. And I'm like, that's what society says.
Yeah.
Right. So the fact that you let yourself, you need to experience emotion. You need to talk about emotion. You need to feel emotion because that's what makes you human.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, here's the thing. Your dog gave you one of the best lessons that you could have with the very last breath he gave you. Mm-hmm. And that is that you still have emotions to process.
Right.
Right. His passing of his dog could be the conveyance or the conduit to actually allow pent up emotions, sadness, whatever he's experienced in his military career and with his friendships and family. He now has a vehicle to express that mm-hmm. safely, respectfully, comfortably, and without judgment.
Yeah.
Right. And I share that story because we don't want to wait for that moment that a friend or a family or loved one or a pet passes to experience that. So the importance of the work that you do in the world, and we're going to come back to this after the break in about 2 minutes, is how do we start shifting our mindset to break the mold of this isn't okay, or I shouldn't, to this is what's right for me right now. Right?
And like you said, right now, right? Because all feelings come and go. When we get in that stuck mindset, we think, oh no, now I'm a guy who cries, right? Instead of, I was crying over my dog for a second with my dear friend Diane who let me, right? Yeah.
Right. Right. So take us to the break. We've got 2 minutes. What do you want people to know about either your chapter of the book or about shifting their mindset in 2023 before we go to break?
Both. So the answer to that is to both that coming up after the break, I'm going to share a tool that I teach all my clients that really is a quick hack for checking in with those emotions and helping ourselves calm down out of the fight or flight and actually process them.
Okay. That's awesome. Looking forward to that tool. So stay with us. This is the Diane McClay Show. And here on every other Friday, we always try to help you empower your life through choice. I hope we're doing that for you right now. Right now, you have the choice to step away, but please choose to come back. We want to talk to you. And we want to hear what you have to say. Thanks.
Everyone, come check out this new app I'm featured in. You're going to look for KS Media Group app in the App Store. Download it, launch and create your free account. Get the free ebook. You're going to find me under directories. Click on resources of the world's best influencers. Find me at the top of the list and take advantage of evolving your daily practice, cultivating deep inner peace, growing in love with my YouTube channel, and all the ways that you can connect with me now on social media and other ways as well. There's also a long list of live podcasts there that are listed under the directories to help you to live your best life now. Go and hurry. Get the KS Media app. Go to the App Store and download it now.
Juggling life's relentless demands can leave us unbalanced and restless. Do you feel stuck in the overwhelm? Diane McClay is a personal empowerment coach, author, and compassionate storyteller on a mission to boost you into balance and help you move forward with passion and purpose. Get unstuck with Diane on The Diane McClay Show every second and fourth Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Diane, visit DianeMcClay.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for choosing to come back and spend the second half of the hour with us. My guest today is Keila Parkinson, and she is a communications coach. She's a co-author of the book we're talking about, Healthy Thinking, Happy Life, How to Master Your Mindset and Get Shit Done. And that's coming out soon. So we really want you to go to Amazon.com. We'll put a big media blast out when it's ready, but we'd love to have you download the Kindle version, read a chapter or two and post a review for us so that we can really make this a bestseller. So Keila, just before the break, you said you had a tool for us, and then Jacob, one of my best friends that I haven't met yet, actually chimed in and shared something. So Jacob, can you bring yourself in and share your observation and then let Keila address that?
Yeah, absolutely. Hello, everyone. Yeah, when Keila and Diane were talking about failure and opportunity and kind of how those two work together and also kind of tug against each other, it brought up the feelings that I've had of imposter syndrome in my life, which a lot of people struggle with. And that plays out not just in my personal life, but in whatever activity I might be doing, but also in music and work. So that's kind of where I'm at and kind of just working through those thoughts.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing that, because I've also experienced imposter syndrome. I've had that question pop into my head. Who am I to be talking to people about this or that, or who's going to listen to me, right? So now I want to turn it over to Keila, who has a lot of experience in neuroscience and psychology, hypnotherapy. Take this. This is your platform now.
Oh, man. So it's so funny that you mentioned this. This is the first thing that each of you like really resonated with, because I happen to have collaborated in another book chapter that's coming out also later this month or next month. And that chapter is about imposter syndrome, because these things really are so married, right? Like, that's one of the things we get stuck in. We get stuck in this idea of, I'm not worth it. You know, something, I'm not valuable. And also sometimes, like, I'm not worthy of love. Really, that's the root thing that it comes down to. And it's part of that neurodevelopment, that emotional development. And it translates professionally, or even, you know, in our roles as partners, you know, spouses, parents, whatever, as that imposter syndrome. I am faking it. I'm not a good enough human being to be contributing in this way, right? That's what it comes down to. So I asked Jacob, are you willing to go through this tool with us? And are you still willing, Jacob?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Super cool.
I'll just do it quietly on my end.
Okay, honestly, yeah. I'd love to hear what you come up with at the end too, Diane. So this tool is called the BMT Index, and it stands for Body, Moods, and Thoughts. So we just, Jacob, I'll ask you to just in your head get to that place of like remembering a time when you were trying to communicate clearly and you felt that imposter syndrome bubble up, and just kind of dial it up, if you will, like make it full tilt, you know, like how it felt in that moment, getting back to that moment for a second, and then start with, what does your body feel when you're back even remembering that now?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, because it's when I try to recall emotions, sometimes it's a little bit, it's difficult to remember how I felt. But with this specifically, it's pretty clear, you know, that sort of anxious tightening in my chest, the intrusive thoughts. And then from there, it's like fatigue almost. And I just feel tired, and it makes me not want to pursue that thing that I might have been trying, or that I am professionally able to do, for example. So anxiety and fatigue are the two feelings that stick out.
Yeah, the moods. So, right. You went into, go ahead, Diane.
I want to call something out real quick, and then I'll share my piece. Jacob, the first thing he said is, it's hard to recall the feelings I had. So he was in his head for a minute, right? And your question was, drop into your body.
Right.
Right. And then once he dropped into his body, then he realized he felt tired, fatigued, stressed. Right. For me, as soon as you asked the question, as soon as you said drop into that really big moment where you really felt like that imposter syndrome was really heavy for you, my throat closed up. It was tight. And I actually wanted to cry.
Oh, man. Yeah. So I want to also say something. Thank you each for doing this and for being very vulnerable, and for trusting me to walk you through, because it is intentionally bringing up fight or flight. And we're doing that for a purpose, not for show, you know, not for some sort of a gimmick, right? We're doing that so that each of you, after we've gone through this process, can figure out how to cycle out of it, right? This, the first tool here is the BMT index. And the next one following that is the key motto, which is like an affirmation statement on steroids, where you just like get out of this and you cycle out of it. So moods, right? The moods is the next thing. Jacob has already shared with us. It's anxiety, right? It's fatigue. That's a physical sensation, but it has a mood attached to it. And it could be, I would use the words overwhelm or even depression. Do either of those resonate with you or something similar, Jacob?
Definitely. My wife is a social worker, and she's like, you're experiencing a mild depressive episode right now. It's like, okay.
Right.
And you're like, thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, congratulations for naming it, for getting through it, right? And so, Diane, then since you're also participating, would you name a mood that comes up for you if you can? Sometimes we don't know the name of the mood.
I think looking back, it's hard because right now I know I've done a lot of work on this. So I'm at a point where I literally can stand on the dot and look both ways and see both sides, like Steve Jobs says. But I think I would say that it was frustration. Mm-hmm. Like, because your words were, have you ever tried to actually use your words and express yourself? And in my particular situation, when I left my state parks job, I was trying to explain my intent, my actions, my integrity, my value. And it not only did it get shut down, but it got questioned. And then eventually my words literally got used in the next sentence, which was used to take me through the next level of a discipline process. Like, essentially, when I tried to explain myself, then I wasn't being heard. And then my words weren't being valued. And then literally they got used as weapons against me.
And isn't that interesting that the first physical sensation you felt was a tightening of the throat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your communication being cut off, so, and your body knew it right away, right? Shut down.
Frustration and sadness, I would probably say.
And the tears let us know that, right? So, you know, what we're breaking down here are these moving parts of fight or flight, right? Our body, our moods, our thoughts, those are the three separate working pieces. And we can toggle and switch and tweak any one of those and get the full effect that we need. We can move into a power posture, put our shoulders back in our head up, put our feet flat on the ground, right? You guys want to do that right now as you're sitting here and like, just get strong, put your arms up, raise movement, right? Intentional movement. That's so important. And you feel that shift, right? Diane, just put our hands in the air. We feel that shift, right? So we can do any of those things. We can move intentionally. We can change the way we're talking to ourselves. And that will help move our moods too. We can do something that just changes our neurochemistry. Like, I'm going to have a small piece of chocolate. There's a little dopamine hit, right? And like, that's going to make me feel happier in that way. So many things we can do. Diane, you shared some of the thoughts, right? Some of the thoughts that came up, like you didn't put it into this, but I would kind of summarize it, paraphrase it as something like, I'm not being heard, or it's not worth speaking up about this, right? They don't care what I have to say, things like that. Do you think anything like that would apply to the situation for you?
100%. And then add the dialogue that my own head started telling me.
What was that?
I deserve this.
Yeah,
I made a mistake. I can see where they're coming from. I deserve the punishment. I'm not the leader that I thought I was. I'm not as good at whatever it was that I thought I was doing. Like, there was a big pile of, I am not enough. There's a lot of layers of the not enough world that I care not to go back to whenever I have the power and choice to get to move myself away from it.
Oh, this is so good. So Jacob, I got you on pause here for a second because Diane is mentioning these things. And as you say these things, what is your body feeling as you're saying these sentences out loud?
Yeah, everything in my chest, well, more like in my lower diaphragm, stomach area. It feels like the reaction you have when someone pokes you in the ribs and everything tightens automatically. Like, there's a physical, feels like somebody scared me and poked me in the ribs trying to be funny, and my body clenched.
Mm-hmm. It makes so much sense. I like how the first like body part you actually named was diaphragm. That right there connected to our voice, right? We think of the diaphragm only as moving the air up so that we can speak really. And you had that whole section constricted, right? You're talking about like how it felt, like just like you're clenched up in that way. That's survival, right? That's fight or flight. We need fight or flight. It teaches us how to survive. Even if people become amazing to each other, we have no more wars or domestic violence, we will still have earthquakes, right? We need to know and practice how to survive if we need to. And so our body practices it all the time, right? So someone's shutting you down, you think you're separate from the group. It's like, oh no, I'm not going to survive out here on my own. Your body clenches. It makes so much sense that that happens. So here you are doing that. You're thinking those thoughts. I mentioned that there's a powerful tool that follows this for every person I'm working with as a client for the very first thing that we do, this BMT index, which is its own thing we can do. And the very first time you learn this tool with me, then you also learn how to do that affirmation statement on steroids, the key motto. So for Diane, I would suggest something to you, right? I would suggest, like, let's practice saying out loud and see how your body responds to these different thoughts. And like you said, it's not the 180 of like, just think differently, right? So I wouldn't say, I'm not the leader I thought I was, and then say, I'm a leader, right? I would say, Tell me a time when, even in the face of adversity, Diane, you have worked through that face of adversity, you have worked through that adversity and you have been able to find that leader voice. Can you give me an example? Give all of us an example.
Yeah. I mean, 8 years later, I survived, right? I figured out how to live without that, that title and that glory and that expectation. That's the first thing, right? I'm a leader in my own right, because there are people who still work for that agency that are still stuck in that cycle. Mm-hmm. And people have emailed me, written to me, asked for my coaching services and said, how did you survive it?
Yeah.
Right. So I think that just surviving it is the story in and of itself. But you and I, before we got on camera, I shared a phrase with you that I use a lot, and that's to add the phrase for now.
Yeah.
Right. To add the before or after, whatever it is you're doing, to give the situation temporariness, not permanentness, to get out of fixed mindset, as you say, is to add the words for now. For now, I don't have all the information I need.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have what I need today. Right. But that gives, now that puts me into a physical state of, I can now ask the question, what is it I do need? What's accessible? What's low hanging fruit? Is there somebody who can help me? Is there somebody like Jacob out there who is feeling the same way I am? And we can just talk, right? So for me, I've learned to use the phrase for now, and it becomes a conduit or a vehicle for action. And I want to bring Jacob back into the conversation too, because he's left.
Yeah, I do. I do too. I haven't forgotten about you at all. I want to close up here with Diane. I want to check in with Jacob and see how you're feeling about finishing the job here. But so you, that phrase for now, I love that you shared that, because that's really powerful. Because one of the reasons that the key motto is not just like a typical affirmation statement, you know, studies show that affirmation statements, they don't technically really work, quote unquote. You have to say them hundreds of times. You start to feel the difference in the moment, but it doesn't stick and track, right? And what I call this a key motto for is because it's so powerful, because it's in your own language. So adding that for now into the statement that changes you and cycles you out of it will be really, really powerful. So I would suggest then something along the lines of, also I want to point out too, something that you probably already really recognize, which is here you are using your voice, you know, in this right now, right? Like, this is your platform. You've created a platform to have a voice of people who are either like-minded thinkers or curious about thinking differently, right? Which is so incredibly powerful. So if you get that same sensation of like getting stuck, getting, you know, your voice tightening up and feeling like I'm not the leader they think I am, and that imposter syndrome shows up in that statement for me, which I call the anti-motto, the bully on our shoulder that goes, hey, you actually suck, right? That's an awful thing to think. You can change that very quickly by saying something like, I am learning to speak up for now, right? Or I learn to use my voice wisely for now. Something about that process, like being in the moment, right? Like, I survive when I learn to speak up for now, something like that. And what I would have you do then to conclude, which we won't finish up today, but I'll encourage you to do it afterward if you want to, is to figure out, like, play with that and feel. And what I always notice, I'll notice it before people notice. So I'll be like, "Woo! You just took a deep breath right there. Your shoulders went back. Your body gives all the cues, right? It gives all the cues and lets us know. So I would suggest that you use that as a working motto and play with it and figure out like, oh, what do I get that flood of different brain chemistry where I can breathe freely, my diaphragm unclenches, and I can speak really clearly. And that will be your key motto.
I can finish it out. My key motto is that I'm going to speak my truth today.
Ooh.
Right? Whatever that looks like. Or another one would be, if I don't like the way I handled something yesterday, I'm going to use my voice differently today.
But I would say, take out the going and make it, right? Like,
I use my voice differently today.
Yep. I use my voice differently today. Oh, that's so powerful. Say it three times. Look at you. You don't even have to. I'm always like, say it three times. And then like body changes. She's got her hands in the air again. Woo, look at that. Right. So power posture, or create your power posture. Because you see, your body goes right into power posture when you think like that. It's so powerful. I love this. Look at that. I love it. That's right. I always picture myself with like a cape whenever I'm doing that. I love it. That's so cool. Jacob, right. You're up. How do you feel? Do you feel like you want to conclude the cycle too?
Yes, please.
Then you're like, I've got this.
He's probably got a little anxiety sitting there waiting while I did my part.
Yeah, stuck. So you just identified like anxiety, fatigue, and like a little bit of depression, right? A mild depression that comes up, that what I would name overwhelm, which is a complex set of emotions, right? The four basic emotions, mad, glad, sad, and scared. We get this big combination of them. We're like confused. It's hard to know what to do. So when that comes up for you, and you've got those body sensations or just that heaviness, right? And that feeling of getting tired, then I can ask you the same question. What are some of the thoughts that come up about yourself when you're in that physical state?
I tend to tell myself that I'm lazy and incapable of doing certain things, or uninspired is a big one for me.
Okay. So uninspired. So that lets me know too, something that is really important to you, which is being inspired, being creative, right? Which makes sense. I think you're in the right field for something like that. And so that also is a clue to like what's going to help you shift out of that. And I really want to point out when you say lazy, because I think a lot of people who suffer from depression tell themselves they're lazy because other people outside of our lives, I'm going to say we, because I have suffered from very serious depression and been hospitalized, right? It's not something I undergo on a regular basis now, but I had years starting at 5 years old of being in seasonal depression every winter. And it eventually moved to like 4 months of my life. I would just expect it. And it would be this awful, debilitating thing. And I'm not in there now, mostly because of the work that I have done around my emotional processing. Major credit to that shift. So it's not that you're lazy, it's that you're feeling uninspired, right? And so I'm asking you now, Jacob, to tell us just, you know, quickly, if you can, some times that you have moved through that feeling and done some really amazing things, even if they're just amazing to you.
Yeah, that's great. I make wedding videos in the summer, and I think a lot of times I experience these feelings are around when I've got a bunch of work to do. In the past, when I've been able to kind of walk off that ledge, so to speak, I've, you know, been able to do some of my best work, actually. It's kind of happened after I've come out of that darkness and kind of, you know, trusted that I could do it. And also positive affirmation from other people always helps. So, that's pretty much it for me.
I like it. So you are worthy of going through the process of your creative cycle. And sometimes part of your creative cycle includes self-doubt. Would you say that's true? Yes, no, or maybe?
Definitely yes.
Definitely yes. Yeah, very cool. So, and then I would encourage you, and again, I'm not going to try and finish this process because it could go on for a long time. And I know we don't have all the time in the world actually on the show, but I will say, if you want to, if it's coming to you, definitely say it. But I would continue for you a working motto that's along the lines of bringing in that idea that it's about that emotional processing, that it's part of your creative cycle, that is part of what helps you to have stamina, and that what's important to you is to find that inspiration, and that you always do.
That's beautiful. I'm going to have to sit on that for a bit. Definitely. Very cool.
You're going to have to reach out to me too and let me know if you do come up with the whole thing, or you want a little help just finishing it up, because I would totally do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Thank you.
Can I sort of synthesize this for our audience? Yeah. So kind of what we're talking about here is the BMI. We're talking about being aware. BMI is something different. That's
right.
But so the thing is, when we have an emotion, we need to recognize and give ourselves permission to feel the emotion. So in the case of depression, somebody who's experiencing that, or anxiety or fear or whatever, we need to say, it's okay for now for me to experience this emotion. That's the permission slip that all of us here, Jacob especially, Keila and myself, are giving our listeners, is you have a blank permission slip to feel what you are feeling, and not couch it, stuff it down, change it, alter it, or make it PC for anybody else. That's the first thing. The second thing is, once you have the emotion, once you're feeling the emotion, it's very easy to go up and get stuck in our head. But what Keila's asking us to do is actually drop down and notice, have awareness about what's happening in our body. Where does it show up? For me, it was my throat closing and I wanted to cry. For Jacob, his body felt anxious, tense, fatigued, tired, uninspired. Again, as soon as you have awareness, you can't not have awareness. Now, you can choose not to do anything with it, and that's okay for now, right? But I guarantee you, the bill is always going to come due. That's a quote from a movie somewhere. The bill always comes due. And if you don't take time to allow the emotion, to feel the emotion, to communicate the emotion, at least to yourself, if not to the person that's most important to you in your life, even if it's your dog, then eventually those emotions are going to get stuck. And Keela's been talking about a mindset of movement versus a mindset of getting stuck. So the way to get unstuck is to take action. She's asking us to drop down in our body, recognize what we feel in our body, recognize the thoughts that come with those feelings, and then create a mantra, a mindset, which is basically an action that we step into in a very small way, whether it's sticking your arms up in the air, doing a dance, you know, taking some chocolate, whatever, as long as it's positive, right? We really want to make sure people aren't going like, hey, I'll go get 3 more beers because that makes me feel better. That right. might temporarily, but you're not actually getting into the root of whatever is going on. So when we're talking about healthy living, happy life, we're talking about incrementally and strategically shifting your mindset. Did I get that? Did I get that? Did I miss anything?
And I love that. And I love that, you know, we drop into our bodies, we check in. The same thing can happen when we're looking at how we self-soothe. Is it a piece of chocolate and then I'm good for like several days? Or is it 3 beers tonight and I might do the same thing tomorrow, right? And then how does my body respond to that? I really wanted some cookies after lunch today. And then I was like, oh, my tummy feels weird. And I was like, what do I need? And I was like, I need some lemon water to detox. And I did that instead of cookies. And I'm so glad I made that choice, right?
Right. So, Jacob, any questions? I mean, thank you for being a participant. I always love when you get to share your insight, but anything you want to throw in here from something you've learned about yourself going through the process that you feel our listeners could benefit from that you feel comfortable sharing?
Yeah. It's kind of a hybrid question and thought here. I am a typically really optimistic person, and, I was listening to your for now statement there, and I often tell myself, you know, things are bad for now. And I'm kind of wondering, cause I think you and I are similar in a lot of ways, but also different clearly. Is that a crutch that I'm kind of leaning on, or is that a helpful thought? You know, is it,
I would flip it back to you. What does your gut tell you? Like, does your gut tell you that it's a helpful thought?
I think it is overall. And I think it's a temporary relief. I think that that can lead me to stagnation though.
Sure. So now you have awareness, and I want to let Keela jump in here.
Can you give us an example of like how that could create stagnation? Like you feel like it's an excuse. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. I think sometimes I make the excuse to not put in effort when I need to, and then I end up watching Netflix or playing games or something.
That's funny. You should really tie into, I'm going to send you a copy of something that Denise and Suzanne Taylor King and I did. We just talked about procrastination. We have a tendency, real quick, we have a tendency to procrastinate because we're fearful of something. Maybe we feel some deep down, we feel some shame. Like my sister forgot to pay me for some work I did on the tree farm. She thought she did. Months went by when I asked her. Every time I reminded her about it, it put her into more of a guilty, shameful place. Like, oh, I should have done that. And then bottom line is we just fixed it. And so procrastination happens. We might be fearful. Something, we might have anxiety about something, we might not know how to do something, but procrastination changes when you take action. So as soon as you have awareness, you can choose to take action. So in your own statement, Jacob, you said, hey, if I just use for now, is that a crutch? Well, if you realize that it's leading you to not taking action, then yes. But if you say, okay, now I know that I'm not taking action, is there something different I can be doing? You're now actually self-medicating with awareness and what options and choice.
That's awesome. I'm like, I got a big smile on my face right now because that's so spot on.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes a decision we make just gives us enough information to make the next decision.
So good.
Yeah.
I love it. Can I add something to that, Diane?
Yeah. And we got about 3 minutes left. We got to pay attention to the time because this is a hot topic and maybe the 3 of us need to jump on a call and finish this out at another point in time.
So fun. Well, so the thing I would add to what you said, which was so spot on, is that emotional processing is taking action. Like doing the work of checking in with your body again, what will help me move through this, right? And then you get, it's like clearing out the clutter in a closet that can't fit anything, right? And you really have like a new hobby and you want to put the new things in, you got to get rid of the clutter. Emotional clutter is also a thing we need to clear out so we can think resourcefully and take action on the next step, like pay our sister. It can be that easy.
Right. Yeah, Jacob, I'm just spacing on the name of your band, but I really want to call it out because you were very humble about just saying you do wedding videos, but that's not all you do. One of your creative outlets is your band, and I love it, but I just spaced the name.
It's Tons and Tons.
Right. Tons and Tons. I love you, Tons and Tons.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
So here's the thing I would say is some self-medication for you is to go back to that album that you've put out and listen to it and recognize that you had an active role in bringing that music forward into the world. And that is a piece of your gift. And whenever that little voice in your head says, stop, you're not good enough, you know that every time I get a new guest on the show, I tell them they need to put this on their playlist, right? So Tons and Tons for our listeners, give Jacob some props, download it, go to Spotify and find Tons and Tons. And then you tell me if Jacob has a creative gift that needs to be in the world. I think he does.
Well, thank you. That was very heartwarming for me. So I appreciate that.
All right, we got a minute left. And again, one of these days, I think I'm just going to get cut off and there's going to be a beep across the screen. Kayla, close us out. What's the thing you want people to know in this last minute of the time we have together?
Last line of my chapter. Family power comes from giving ourselves permission to feel and from teaching our children the same. How will you practice your own empowerment in baby steps today?
Right. And how can we teach our children if we don't teach ourselves? All right. Jacob, thank you for joining us today. Kayla Parkinson, how can people work with you real quick?
You can find me at coachkiki.com, or you can also subscribe to my parenting newsletter, buildbetterhumans.substack.com.
Okay, awesome. Thank you very much. Everybody, happy Friday. Take care of each other. Remember that the choice is yours. You have more of it than people lead you to believe. If you need some help with anything that you got going on mindset-wise, look me up, coach with Diane at dianemcclay.com, or ask coachkiki.com.
Yeah, ask at coachkiki.com. That's right.
Ask at coachkiki.com. We're going to let you go for today. Have a great weekend. Happy 2023, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Diane McClay Show, where you are empowered to enact change in your life through choice. You know that little voice in your head that's been telling you to pursue that passion project? Or maybe it's been screaming for you to go outside and explore the great outdoors. That voice is you, and you deserve to be heard. Listen, make a choice, make a change, and watch yourself grow. For more information about Diane or to work with her personally, visit dianemcclay.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.